And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs in chapter number 1. The Old Testament book of Proverbs in chapter number 1. We're hitting an important message for the idea of dealing with others and dealing with people. I'm sure that you found out that different people need treated in different ways. And we need wisdom. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And we all understand that we need wisdom. We need wisdom how to deal with people. We need wisdom how to live our lives. The book of Proverbs is a practical book of wisdom that we as Christians need in our everyday life. And with today's message, we want to try to be an encouragement and a help as we try to deal with different types of fools. Today is, of course, April 1st, Fool's Day, the atheist national holiday. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We understand that is a foolish statement. The atheist needed a holiday, so we gave him one. But we understand that there are fools out there. And we want to find out, what does the Bible mean when it says fools? And how do we deal with these folks? And so if you wouldn't mind, open the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 1. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark that one word that we see here, fools. Fools. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach to you and show you from the book of Proverbs the five types of fools. Five types of fools. And with the Lord's help, let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come up to you now, this is an important message where we must try to be an encouragement to folks. As we open up the Bible, we all have loved ones, we all have friends, we all have people that we're dealing with that are at different stages, and we need wisdom how to deal with these folks. I understand, Lord, I need power today. Your mighty Holy Spirit power, and that your Holy Spirit must make it alive, carry it to every thought. I'm asking that this would repeatedly be help to folks, to help to people. Let your Bible speak to us in a special way. Lord, I don't even want to attempt to touch this with my own flesh. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you would bless your own name. You would get this across through your word. Let it be powerful. Let it be real. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Hebrew language, there are five words that we usually translate and refer to the word fool. And when we bring them into our English language, we could identify five different classifications, five types of fools. The five types of fools that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs is the simple fool, the silly fool, the sensual fool, the scorning fool, and the steadfast fool. And we'll talk about each one of these individually in a second. But the Bible says there is the simple fool, the silly fool, the sensual fool, the scorning fool, and the steadfast fool. Now, a wise counselor must know how to identify these people and know how to deal with them. Now, distinguishing these fools will help let us know when to counsel and the type of counseling they should receive. Now, let's identify our terms. What is a fool? A fool is someone who does not follow the wisdom of God. Even in the passage we read here, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You need knowledge, you need wisdom. It starts with God. You need to go have a fear of God, realizing that He is God and that there is none else. You need wisdom, you go to God. But fools, on the other hand, fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is a fool? A fool is someone who disregards God's wisdom. A fool is someone who disregards God's wisdom. Now, there are different degrees of fools, and they go through a steps of progression. They start off with the simple fool, and left to his own devices, he'll go up this ladder of progression, getting progressively worse and worse and worse. And we must stop people before they get too far. Now, let's start with the first one, the simple fool. The simple fool. The Hebrew word, if you're interested, is the word pethi. Pethi. And it implies the idea of being vulnerable. It means to open up. It has the idea of someone who opens up his mind to any passing thought, any type of enticements, or any type of deceptions. It's someone that its mind is so open that anything that comes through sounds like a good idea. There's someone who's usually very gullible, someone who is very easily manipulated. He is someone who has not developed discernment. Discernment's important. What does discernment mean? I'm going to say discernment several times throughout this passage, so let's define our terms. Discernment has the idea of far seeing. Discernment has the idea of far seeing. So it has the idea that not just seeing where people are at, but where they are going, where it's taking them. It has the idea of seeing the consequences of your action. We understand as adults and mature people, all actions have consequences. This type of fool doesn't think about the consequences. He lives in a world where I'll do whatever I want, it's not going to matter. He doesn't even think there is going to be consequences. He lives in such a black and white world that it's all about him and what he wants and what he desires. Now, he is dangerously immature and extremely gullible. Any person could get him aside and get him in trouble, and he doesn't even think that there's going to be any problems. Now, without instruction and constant and consistent discipline, the simple fool will quickly progress to greater foolishness. Now, consistent discipline is necessary. It forms character. People need to know what their boundaries are. That's why we start as children. With the greatest thing you could do with a child, whatever means that you use to train that child, it must be consistent. Must be consistent. No matter what it is. Anytime that you tell your child, if you do this, you will get a spanking, you will get this, and you don't carry it through, you're not being consistent. He starts to develop in their mind that there's not a consequence for their action. You must be consistent. And fools, these simple fools, need consistent discipline. If they do something wrong, they consistently must have a consequence. This is their problem. Well, their problem is they don't think there's consequences. So how do we train them? We train them by giving them consistent, loving discipline to keep them to realize there's consequences for my actions. Now, these people are especially vulnerable to seductive women and lack the wisdom for irreversible consequences when they surrender to this temptation, okay? It's a type of person that, now we all know them, the type where a woman tries to entice them and they're vulnerable. They just go right along and they don't think about the consequences of their action. They don't think about the things that can happen. Let me show it to you. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. We're going to start diving a lot to see what the Bible says. Now, oftentimes the Bible calls this fool, we'll see it in the Bible, that the simple. So whenever you read the book of Proverbs and you see the noun simple, when it's talking about these simple people, we understand it's talking about these simple fools. These simple fools. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 7, it says, "And be held among the simple ones." It's talking about these simple fools, these gullible fools, these fools that don't see the consequences, these fools that have their minds open. Okay, verse 7 again. "And beheld among the simple fools, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." Now imagine this in your mind. Solomon's looking at a bunch of youths. Youths in the Bible is our teenage group. Pre-adolescence all the way up to to 18, whatever is considered manhood. He's looking at youths and he says, I discern that there's a man among these youths who is simple, who's a fool, and lacks understanding. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he went in the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impenitent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore come I meet thee to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man, that's her husband, is not at home. He is gone in a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird hasten to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to death, going down to the chambers of death. Or her ways is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. The Bible talks about this simple fool, that he has no discretion. He has no discernment. And that he is easily convinced, in this case it's a woman, who has led him to do something that is not right with his own body. And he didn't even think about the consequences that was going to happen. What are the consequences? It's going to lead him to a path that he never wanted to go down. It's a man without discretion, a lady without discretion, without discernment. What else about this simple fool? This person views life as simple and fails to see that consequences come. Turn with me to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple, that simple fool, pass on and are punished. Now here, the prudent man, he sees the evil. He has discernment. He sees that this is not the right way, and he hides. He goes a different direction. But the simple, notice what it said, the simple pass on and are punished. The simple doesn't even see the road markers. He doesn't see danger signs. He goes straight ahead, and it's going to cause him wrong destruction. Now we understand the Bible talks about even more. The scorning fool, which is a fool later on, they actually seek out the simple fool and try to become their heroes. This is why you have some young people that have no discernment, and you get some punk who's worse off than them, start hanging out with them and start trying to teach them. Hey, those scorning fools, they're looking for someone to do their work for them, to get someone in trouble. Hey man, go rob that bank or go steal this piece of candy. No one will know. They get them into worse trouble. But the simple, because of lack of discernment, they just think these guys are cool. They think these guys are good guys to hang around with. They're just misunderstood. But they fall prey to these other types of fools, and it leads them to a worse path and gets them in further and further trouble. It's not that these are bad people. They just lack discernment. They lack to see that there's consequences for their action and where it will take them.
Turn with me to Proverbs 19 and verse 25. This is an important verse, and we're going to hit it again in a bit. But Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25. Remember, these scorning fools are going to kind of seek out these simple fools, and they're going to try to get them in trouble. But the simple fools are going to see these scorners, and they're going to see them as heroes. So how do we help correct the simple fool? Notice in Proverbs 19 and verse 25. Smite a scorner, that's that scorning fool, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will have knowledge. It's important to bring swift correction to the scorner and decisive correction, and it will get the simple fool's attention. How do we help correct a simple fool? You take someone, it may not help this scorner, but it will sure show a warning to those simple fools and let them know there is consequences for the action. This is where our country's messed up. We fail to give correct punishment. And so more and more people are following these lines because they don't see there's any consequences. If we saw, amen, right, brother? Amen. That's right. Good. You know, if simple folks saw someone getting publicly executed or public trial of consequences for their action, they may say, wait a second, maybe I should not get involved in this, right? You almost start seeing that little gerbil start moving. Simple fools need to see there's consequences for their actions. They need to learn there's consequences. Now, if they are not stopped, if they are not stopped at this, they will progress to a worse type of fool, which brings us to our second category, the silly fool. The silly fool. Now, the Hebrew word in the book of Proverbs for the silly fool is evel, evel. And it has the idea, ones that are morally missed the mark. His rejection of parental authority has caused him to violate his moral purity. Sometimes by choice, but this is how it works. I don't care what mama says. I don't care what daddy says. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to try this anyways. You know, when mama says, warn you, you know, all right, you need to stay away from this. And they say, well, what does mama know? I'm going to try it anyways. This is that type of fool. They're not necessarily trying to be rebellious, blatantly rebellious, but they just disregard mom and dad's instruction. Don't be out after midnight. They're just trying to keep me from having fun. No, they're trying to keep you out of trouble, right? And we understand that. How many of us have gotten in trouble because we didn't listen to mama and daddy? And we go, mommy and daddy were right after all. You know, mommy and daddy has wisdom. You know what? In almost all cases, mommy and daddy are older, right? That means they may know a little bit more than you do. Some cases, right? And so when they say don't do that, you know the reason why? Because they know what happens if you'll do that. And so this type of fool is someone who just kind of disregards parental authority and they end up getting themselves in trouble, usually morally. Now the word, the Hebrew word that we see as silly fool literally means to be thick, like thick-headed or stupid. Have you ever seen someone that's thick-headed? This is that type of fool here. It carries the idea of being insolent or twisted. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. So it goes from a simple fool to a silly fool. They have no discretion. They have no discernment. Now they get to the place where they go, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. They're not trying to be purposely rebellious. They just disregard the instruction that was given to them by their parents. And by the way, that carries on to other authorities. But Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools, silly fools, die for the want of wisdom. These fools don't have wisdom. They've disregarded the instruction. Turn with me also to where we had started off, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. This is a silly fool that was mentioned here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but silly fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, they just disregard it. They were told don't do it, and they said, what's the big deal? I'm going to do it anyways. They just disregard it. Look with me also in Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 15, this type of fool believes that his thinking is right. I know what I'm doing, I'm going to be all right. How many of you have said that before? I know what I'm doing. I know mom and dad said that, but I know what I'm doing. This is a silly fool. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right, that's that silly fool, the way of a silly fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. The fool says, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to be all right. It's someone who believes his own way of thinking is right. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Now it's useless to argue with the silly fool because the only way a silly fool will learn is by discipline and punishment. This is what the Bible says, not pastor. This isn't my own opinion. This is what the Word of God says, the God who knows the hearts of man. You're not going to be able to argue him into believing you. He's already right in his own mind. The only thing he'll understand is if there's discipline and correction. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 9. Proverbs 29 in verse number 9. If a wise man contendeth with a silly, foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The Bible says, now if you take time to contend, to argue with a fool, whether he gets mad or if he just laughs at you, there's not going to be any rest. It didn't solve anything. Turn also with me to Proverbs 27 in verse 3. The only way he'll learn is by punishment. You can't argue with him. Now, when things go wrong with this type of fool, he becomes angry and more damage is done. You know, when he's got something set in his mind, I know what I'm doing, I've got it all right. And when it doesn't work out, this type of fool just gets angry and it makes it worse. Proverbs 27 in verse number 3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a silly fool's wrath is heavier than them both. When he doesn't get his way, he gets super, super mad. Now, the mouth of the silly fool gets him in trouble. This is his distinguishing feature. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14. You can tell this type of fool because of his mouth. He just runs his mouth and just keeps talking. Have you ever known someone like that? They just keep talking, and the more they talk, the more trouble they get into. The Bible talks about this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 14. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the silly foolish is near destruction. He just keeps talking and he makes it worse on himself. In fact, the Bible says if he would just shut up, he would get out of trouble. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. If he would just shut his mouth, close his mouth, he would improve the situation and how people would look at him. People would actually look at this person better if they just kept their mouth shut. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28. Even a silly fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. The Bible says if this silly fool would just be quiet just for a little bit, it would actually help him out. But because he's right in his own eyes, he's always going to be talking, he's always going to be getting his own opinion apart. You can't argue with him because he's already right, he's decided he's right. The only thing that you could do to help this fool is by swift punishment, correction. He has to understand there's consequences, that he is not always right. It's just a big thing of pride. and he has to be taken down a peg or two, but he has to realize. Now, we're hoping this will wake him up, because if it doesn't, he'll progress to the next type of fool. Now, all these references I made before where it said fool, fool, those were literally the Hebrew words meaning silly fool. So each one of these categories is the actual word I'm talking about. All right? The next one is the sensual fool. It starts off as the simple. It goes on to silly. If it's not taken care of, he'll become what's called a sensual fool. Now, the word, Hebrew word is kesel. It has the idea of one who fails to receive correction of either parental or public authority, or one who just reacts to it. It literally means has the idea of being fat, sluggish, dull, obstinate. It denotes one who is bent to make wrong choices. It almost seems like they purposely make wrong choices. It's this type of fool. They progressed it. First, it started off with just someone who just had no discernment. They're not trying to do wrong, but they get other people to convince them to go ahead and do this, and they just get in trouble. Now it moves on to someone who says, well, you know, I know what I'm doing. I know mom said don't do this, or dad said don't do this, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. Now it moves on to a type of person. Now this starts getting to the border where we could help them or not when they reach this stage. It gets really hard. It has the idea of one who is bent making wrong choices. It just seems that they just purposely keep making wrong choices. Now, he doesn't have a mental deficiency. It's not because there's something wrong up here. But because he's rejected the wisdom of God, he's just looking for what just gives him immediate pleasure. What pleases me? What makes me happy? What am I looking for? Well, you know, it's all about me. And so, it's important. His God is his belly, and he glories in what he should be ashamed of. It's a type of person who ends up bragging on sin. You know, me and the boys last night, we went and get this. And, all right, man. You know, some of you have Facebook probably seen garbage like this. If me and you were end up in a jail saying four words, what you would say to me when you woke up in jail with me. You know, that's that type of thing. Well, you know, you don't want to end up in jail. Who, never mind. But there's people. Yeah, me and Ben, we were in jail last night. And they get to the point where they're bragging on sin. They're bragging about getting in trouble. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The Bible says quite a lot about fools in the Bible, doesn't it? And it's important because we have to see what the Bible says, how to deal with them. Because we love all these people. We want to help them. But we need to know how they need to be helped. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 23. This is the sensual fool. Proverbs 10 verse 23. It is as a sport to a sensual fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. It says it's a sport. It's a game to them. How much trouble can I get into? They're purposely looking forward to getting a game. It's not they accidentally find it. They're looking for trouble to get into. This is that sensual fool. He's just looking for that immediate gratification. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, starting at verse 19. Proverbs 13 and verse starting at verse number 19. It says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to sensual fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of sensual fools shall be destroyed. That he's just looking out for himself. He's getting himself in trouble. Now, he appears to be very prosperous and thus becomes the object for the simple and the silly fool to follow him. You know, he's purposely getting in trouble. And it looks like, man, look at how much fun he's... Look at all the stuff he got from robbing that Kmart, from stealing from Walmart, from doing all this other stuff. Oh, man, look at him. You see how many... He's got five girlfriends at once, man. Isn't that great? And so these other fools are looking at this sensual fool and looking at his lifestyle and saying, look at what he's getting away with. We want to be just like that. Why should I listen to mom and dad? He's having a better time than these rules that I have to live under. Am I to hear someone talk like that? You know,
These stupid rules are just keeping me from having fun. So-and-so's out and they're having a good time and they're doing all right. No, they're not. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 32. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32. For the turning away of the simple, so it's that simple fool we talked about earlier, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of sensual fools shall destroy them. He looks very prosperous at this time. He looked like good, but it's going to destroy them. Now notice this, again, the wording of it. For the turning away of the simple fools, shall slay them. It is a plural pronoun. And the prosperity of fools, sensual fools, shall destroy them. Here it has the idea that the sensual fool is not being destroyed necessarily. It's those simple fools who are following him. They're going to get destroyed because of this person's actions. It's going to hurt others. Notice Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 9. Speak not in the ears of a sensual fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. We understand he hates the rules. He hates saying, have rule over me. Why do I have to obey these stupid rules? The answer is not counsel, but severe punishment. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the sensual fool's back. This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 26 and verse 3. It continues on, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 29. Proverbs 19 verse 29, talking about the sensual fool still. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, which is a fool we're fixing to hit into, and stripes for the back of the sensual fool. That we understand that the answer is not counsel. You're not going to be able to counsel this person and get them right. The thing that they're going to understand is severe and quick punishment. Except, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not one of those guys who's trying to say, you know, whip everyone. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that God understands we have to speak the language they're going to understand. How many of you ever tried to counsel someone and they just kind of laughed you off and went and did whatever they wanted anyways? You know, it's not going to do any good. They only understand certain things. They understand consequences. Again, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to sound like I'm an overlord and I'm saying just whip everybody. I'm not trying to say that. But I'm trying to show us wisdom from the Bible and what the Bible and what God Himself says. Now, a sensual fool who refuses to listen has to take the next step, and that's a more severe punishment. That's what we were reading about. Now, a sensual fool is unreasonable. That's why you can't talk with them. They are unreasonable. You can't logic them. You can't convince them. They are unreasonable. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 25. Some of you will recognize some of this stuff. I may read the verse, but you'll see a picture in your mind. Like I said, sometimes we all act foolish. But we're trying to hit fools here, but there are times we all admit that we've acted foolish. All right, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 25. A sensual foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. You know what a sensual fool does? It hurts mom and dad. They see the trouble that their child is getting into. And it breaks their heart. It breaks their heart so much because they won't listen and they keep getting in trouble and it looks like they're trying to get in trouble. And the more that they counsel, the more that they beg, the more they seem to go the other way. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18
and verse number 6. Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A sensual fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A sensual fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. We understand he's unreasonable. He's talking back to authority here. The fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. His fool's lips enter into contention. This has the idea that this is someone who talks back to authority. Talking back through authority should get you in trouble, should get you unpunished. Talking back should never be tolerated. It should not, because it causes more problems. It's a rebellion against authority. And if it's not corrected young, it's not going to be just mom and dad's authority they're rebelling against. It's against the laws of the land. It's against their employer. It's against their husband, their wife, their pastor. Because they've just developed in their mind to rebel against authority. Proverbs chapter 15. This is heartbreaking stuff. This is a serious subject. But we need wisdom in how to deal with these folks. Now, I got a chart that's going to help us here in just a bit. We're going to put it together, tie it together, put it in a nice little bow. But I want to show you what the Bible says, and then we'll kind of try to clarify it the best we can. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a sensual foolish man despiseth his mother. We understand that parents are so brokenhearted because they see where the kids have ended up, where they're going. They're heading to destruction. Now, if he's not corrected, he will go to another type of fool called the scorning fool. The scorning fool. The Hebrew word for fool, for the scorning fool, is lutz. It has the idea of making mouths at. Someone that is mouthy. Now, these people are easy to detect. Just look at their face! It says, they use facial expressions to communicate their disdain and contempt for all authority. Yeah. You know, you see it on their face. Before, it was just in actions and kind of talking back. But now, they have it on their face. The fool has got to the place where almost any type of... You don't tell me what to do. You know, you see it on their face. They're making facial expressions. They're using their mouth. He has not only rejected the truth, but he has embraced that which is an abomination of God, and that is to be a scorner. This is the scorner fool. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. This is the scorning fool. Again, it's an appropriate word. You see it in their face. The scorner. And the Bible easily identifies this type of fool by calling it a scorner. Remember the first fool, they identified it as simple. You see it in the Bible, or in Proverbs, the simple. Here, it's a scorner. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. The scorners, notice that, the scorners delight in their scorning. They enjoy making faces at authority. They enjoy that public outright rebellion. It's not only his behavior, but it's his attitude towards authority. He often mocks and mimics God's people in disdain and ridicules God's people for their righteous standards and conducts. You want me to wear a what? You know, you see that type of disdain, that authority. I can wear whatever I want. It doesn't matter how short it is. It doesn't matter what. You see that type of attitude, that scorning. They're mimicking God's people. You know, you have to go to church. Well, you go ahead and have at it. You know, they mock God's people. They mock God's house. They mock God's standards. They mock His laws. And this is a dangerous, dangerous place to be into. We understand the scorner has no capacity to respond to wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14.
They will not respond to God's wisdom, and they will not respond to God's word. They have such a hatred towards it. You could preach to them until you're blue in the face. It will not move them. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 6. Proverbs 14 and verse number 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. You know, if a scorner wanted to find the truth, he could not identify it because he scorned against it for so long. The Bible says he's looking for it and he can never find it. Why? Because he's a scorner. He's got to the place where he's rejected authority. He's mocked it so long that he couldn't identify it. It goes on and says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, the reason why he doesn't understand wisdom is because he rejects instruction beginning at his parents. We'll hit this in just a second, but Proverbs 13 and 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Rebuke is good. Rebuke means loving correction. And there's times that people need to be rebuked. And when a scorner rejects his parents' authority, and that's where it starts. It starts at home. You could hate me, like me, whatever else. It starts at home. It stems from not having correct discipline in the home. That's where a scorner comes from. It starts because mom and dad didn't do what they were supposed to do in the first place, and that is to correct the child. By the way, I'm going to take a little recess. It is good to say no to the kids every now and again. Any child who gets anything, everything they want is just lumping for trouble. Say no. Mean it and back it up. Haven't you seen a Walmart kid? He finally just screams so loud that just to shut him up, they give him what he wants. No! No! You need to say no at times. Makes sense. I'm not trying to be mean. It's hate mail. That's fine. You can send it to me, mail address, whatever. Put it in the mailbox. But we understand it starts at home. That's why discipline at home is good. That's why, you know, parents are so brokenhearted, when, especially if they get saved later in life or they just get right with God, because now it's too late. Their kids are already scorners, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And they're brokenhearted. But it starts at home. It does start at home. Now, anyone who tries to... Now, this is going to be a help to people. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be a help. Anyone who tries to discipline the scorner who is unauthorized will pay for it. Remember, we always must work through biblical authority. All right? Let me give you an example. All right? I'm pastor, so let me step out of the pastor role. Let's say that Gary Cooper Jr., you saw something that was wrong with Madison, okay? Instead of necessarily correcting Madison, you need to go to Dad. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. We work through biblical authority. If I have a problem with another church member or with a church member of a different church, I'm calling their pastor. Their pastor needs to deal with the problem. You work through biblical authority as much as possible. Does that make sense? If you don't, you are going to get in trouble and you're going to make it worse. You're going to push them further away because you're not authorized to take care of that behavior. You need to work through biblical authority. Sometimes we need reminded on that. You know, if it's someone else's kids, unless you've got permission or you're in a position of authority, you need to go talk with parents. And we try to teach all of our Sunday school teachers the same thing. When you work with children, you're not working with children, you're working with parents. You're working with parents. You're trying to help the parents be the parents they should be at home. You're working alongside with them. I'm very big on not having a Sunday school where we say, you don't know what you're doing, give me your child, I'll teach them, and I'll give them back when you're done. That will not fly. We don't work with just kids, we work with parents. You'll have to work through biblical authority. Another side little venture, forgive me, when we have a youth person, that youth person will have an established marriage, because they need to be an example to the kids, an example to those young people.
It needs to be an established marriage, not a newlywed, an established marriage with a good testimony. But anytime, we know that teenagers go crazy, right? Some of you teenagers understand, right? Teenagers go crazy. They got a mind of their own. They're trying to use it, trying to see what it happens and stuff. And sometimes teenagers exaggerate. How many understand that? So if we have a youth person, guess what? They're with the youth person's side, but they're taking the parent's side all the time. They want to be a blessing, but they take the parent's side. We are not the parents. We're assistant to the teachers. They are the true teachers. If let me tell you a story and give you an example of what will fly. A teenager saying, well, my parents are being so mean and they beat me and all that other stuff, and I need somewhere to hang out. And so the youth leader says, why don't you just stay at my place for a while and I'll keep you. And he doesn't tell the parents where he's at, doesn't tell where they're at. And the parents are looking for him. I don't know where so-and-so is at. I hope he's all right. And the youth leader's had him the whole time. That is an absolute no-no. You always work through biblical authority. Always. We have to understand as much as possible, especially with these scorning fools. If you're not authorized to correct them, you need to go to whoever is authorized to correct them, because it will hurt you and it will end up pushing them further away. All right? As we go back, let's see a little bit of this. Proverbs chapter number 9. The Bible says a lot about fools, doesn't it? Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter 9, starting at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter number 9, starting at verse number 7. He that rebuketh a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. We understand that scorners we need to stay away from. But someone who loves knowledge, who wants to be right, those are the people you want to work with and that you want to try to encourage, and they'll take it, even if you're not technically authorized. But when you start dealing with these foolish people, you deal with the biblical authority. If you're having problem with a employee of someone, you go to their boss. Let me see your supervisor. You talk to them. You talk to the parents. You talk to the pastor. You talk to whoever's in charge, whoever has authority over that person. Otherwise, you'll get yourself into trouble and you will get hurt and you will hurt them. I'm trying to be counsel. I'm trying to be a shepherd. I'm trying to help out here. Good. And so we see this type of fool. This is someone who is... Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15. Good. Try to get back on track. We're trying to finish up. I know it's a little bit longer, but thank you for your patience. I think this is necessary. I was originally going to turn this into a 5-part, 6-part series, but I figured to get it one shot really quick, trying to give us understanding, I think it would be a good help. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 12. Proverbs 15 and verse number 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. He will not seek instruction. He's not going to accept instruction. Now, it's vital that the scorner receives proper discipline and be separated from those that he hangs around, that other scorning crowd. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25. Remember, other fools are attracted to this scorner. And so if you want to help them out, you need to get them away from those other fools who are going to help keep him be foolish. You need to separate him from his friends. Proverbs 19:25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Now you might not be able to help the scorner, but you know what? You could help those others who are following after him. Remember, this is starting to be the stage where there's not going to be much help except for clear judgment discipline. And sometimes it won't help them, but if you correct him, you could stop a lot of other people from following in his footsteps. This is how it works. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 11. Proverbs 21 and verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, let's make a quick practical application before we go to this last one. When you deal with young people, if you could see what happens with the fools, it will help you deal with young people. Remember, we're trying to get the young people to see there's consequences for their actions. I don't know any teenager who really thinks about consequences for actions, right? I mean, that's just part of being a teenager. But when you're working with teenagers, if you instruct them, if you show them there's consequences and that people and what's happening to them, it will help them decide, I'm going to try to do what's right instead of just kind of float around and allow someone else to get a hold of them. Now, there are times that you can help people and there's times that you cannot help people. And there's times you need to consider other people around a situation. Again, let's go back to a youth group. A youth group is important because we understand. If we have a youth group of good kids and we have a scorner in the midst of them, we need to get rid of the scorner. Otherwise, he's going to poison the whole group. Does that make sense? Sometimes that's a pastor call. And that'll be some time where the pastor's people will say, rise up against the pastor. You're being unfair. Why'd you do that? Why'd you ask him not to go back and be part of that youth group? Well, that's not fair. Sometimes that's a pastoral thing, and I can't explain why we have to do it. But because I care for these kids, I have to get that scorner out. Does that make sense? And that's a principle. That's something we have to apply. And all schools should do that too. We have to understand. Now we go to the last fool, and we'll try to get through it quickly, the steadfast fool. The steadfast fool. It comes from the Hebrew word nabral. It means stupid or wicked. It relates to one that is morally wicked and despises holiness and is a disgrace to his family and all those that try to help him. This steadfast fool, others call him the committed fool. He is committed to be foolish. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 21. Proverbs 17 and verse 21. He that begotteth a fool does it to his sorrow, and the father of a steadfast fool hath no joy. So this type of fool brings sorrow and brings no joy. A steadfast fool is self-confident, close-minded, and completely committed to his own God and to his own gratification, and has dedicated his life as drawing as many people as he can to his evil ways. He's trying, not only doing it himself, but he's trying to get others to follow him and committing these evil deeds. Psalm 14, finally leaving this book a little bit. Psalm 14. Now these are the most dangerous fools of all, because they lead people away, and these fools are in churches, Bible colleges, families, schools. These are the steadfast fools. They're the ones who are trying to get people to join them in their evil ways, so that way they can have power. Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. This fool is a committed fool, a steadfast fool. He is determined, there's no God. I'm going to do whatever I want, and everyone else should follow me because I'm the greatest. They've kind of got that attitude. The steadfast fool is also mentioned in the New Testament. Look with me in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. We're closing it down just a bit. We'll wrap it up, put it in a bow in just a second. But I want you to see this type of fool. They're a committed fool, a steadfast fool. The book of Jude. And verse number 4. For there are certain men, now we understand this is mankind, all right, just make sure we're politically correct, right? Ladies can be part of this fool too, you're joined in, all right? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lasciviousness has the idea of a license to sin. You see what they're doing? These fools have come in, crept in unawares, and they're teaching someone, you can do whatever you want. And they've turned this grace of God. Remember, we're saved when you have accepted Christ as your Savior, He's forgiven you of everything. You've received eternal life. What they want you to do is they're trying to tell you, hey man, you're going to heaven, you can do whatever you want. So go ahead, you start doing this with me, it's all right. And they start giving people the license to sin. You can get away with it. And there are people that creep into churches unawares for the purpose of drawing men away from the Lord and getting them to sin and get away with it. Also look with me in Jude verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. And when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. This is that same type of fool. We see that it just ends up. That's a clear expression, twice dead. I mean, they are corrupt. Every fruit they have just withereth and is just useless. Now, in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 25, it talks about David and a man called Nabal. Remember, David's going by and he asked for some help. And Nabal just railed on him. He started yelling, who do you think you are? If I had to support you, I'd have to support everyone. You know, and he just started yelling at him. And David got mad and bitter with him. He said, we'll just take you out, man. And Abigail went and tried to make peace. But Nabal was that steadfast fool. He was just all for himself. He just railed on David, on the man of God. Now, trying to counsel with this type of fool is almost impossible, ineffective. God must deal with this type of fool. Now, Mr. Eric, Mr. David, quickly, if you wouldn't mind, to pass these out. And I want to go through this chart, and I want to try to make it clear as possible. Go ahead and give one to the teenagers and every adult. I think I've got more than enough. I like charts. I like handouts. Most of you have figured that out. This is an easy... It's even color this time. Wow. This will be a quick reference about these types of fools and how we deal with them. A nice little review. We see, first of all, the simple fool. What's his characteristics? What is he like? He believes every word. Man, you tell him something, he's going to believe it. He's looking for a leader. He's looking for someone to follow. And he's ignorant of cause and effect. And he's corrupted by the scorning fools. How do we take care of this young person? Or this old person, if they're that type of fool? We train them in wisdom. They need to have a father to lead them and to teach them to praise. We need to teach them principles of life. What do we mean by that? There's consequences for your action. If you do this, guess what's going to happen? That's principles of life. We've pretty much learned that as older folks, right? You can't get away with whatever you want. There's consequences for your actions. And then we need to show them how scorners are punished. We teach them that scorners are punished. Now, a silly fool, if the simple fool's not taken care of, he becomes a silly fool. What is his characteristics? He's just looking for a good time. And he has fun breaking the rules. And he's committed to having those wrong friends. But notice this, he has guilt for his wrongdoing. You know, he just says, I can get away with it. I don't care what mom says. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. But he still has guilt when he does stuff wrong. I mean, this shows that he's still workable. He has guilt. Now, how do we take care of him? We try to train him how to be a giver and not a receiver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not all about you. Why don't you try to help someone else? Why don't you help take care of someone else? We need to inform their parents of their misdeeds. This is key. Sometimes we're all guilty of it. We don't want to tell their parents something the kids have done. But the parents need to know. Sometimes they don't know what their kids are doing. Their kids are doing it on the sly. You're not trying to be a tattletale. You are telling proper authority. It is not gossip when you tell right authority or someone who is able to do something about it. Okay? If Mr. Eric, if Connor did something in the church, I need to go to you. It's not gossiping. I'm telling you because you can do something about it. Your dad, right? And that's how biblical authority works. But you need to let them know. You need to separate them from wrong friends. As quickly as possible, you need to guard them from those bad friends. And then you need to help them gain a clear conscience. Remember, they're guilty. They're trying to have a good time, but you need to tell them that they can be right with God and that God will forgive them and how to stop doing those sins. Then the third type of fool, a sensual fool. This type of fool sneaks out with wrong friends. It's not that he's just hanging out with them. He's actually sneaking out to go hang out with them. He'll tell you he's somewhere else or he'll sneak out of the house. He's usually involved with drugs and wrong habits. This type of fool engages in immorality and he is skilled in deception. He will lie to you in his face with a straight face and expect you to believe it. He is skilled in deception. He will tell you what he thinks you want to hear. It's someone who is skilled in deception. How do we deal with them? We turn them over to the court system. That's pretty hard in most people's minds, but if we love them, we're going to turn them over to the court system. We need to make sure that right authorities are able to handle them. We need to help them conquer the three root problems. Now, that's a counseling term. If you're to take everybody's problems and boil it all down, there are three root causes, three root problems: greed, materialism, immorality, and bitterness. Those are the three root causes. Remember, sometimes we have symptoms and there's a symptom problem. You need to not find the symptom problems. You need to find the root cause. And the three root causes is greed or materialism, immorality, and bitterness. If you know, the secular psychologists, why they try to dig into your past. They understand there's three root problems. And they're just simple as that. Greed, materialism, bitterness, or immorality. If you were to boil down all the fluff, everything else, those are the three main causes of bad behavior. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But you boil it down, it's those three things. Those three things. All right, so we help them conquer the three root problems. We help break those soul ties. Have you ever had someone, he's my friend, man, we're bosom brothers, man. We're friends for life. No, you need to get rid of that friend because he's getting you into trouble. We have to teach them how to learn how to understand versus trust. You know, we understand, man, I trust this guy with my life. Man, I know he's going to be in jail with me when it happens. Then you probably shouldn't be hanging out with them then, right? You have to teach these people understanding versus trust. Remember, sometimes they go off their emotions. They're all about me. I trust this man. If I need to ever get away from my parents, man, he'll hide me out. Or if I was ever running away from the cops, man, he'll hide me out. That's not the type of friends you truly need. Then we come to the scorning fool. He gets the simple fools to do evil. He despises rules and authorities. He creates unrest and contention, and he is proud of his evil exploits. He brags on the sin he does. What's the treatment? We confine to consistent supervision. You know what that means? That means you watch him 24/7. Oh boy, they hate that, don't they? But if you want them fixed, that's what they need. They need something where they're working. They need something where they have their time used. Somewhere where they're kept accountable for that time. They need to be publicly punished for their crimes. They need to be removed from contact from others. After all, they will poison whoever they're nearby. And they require hard work and restitution to get fixed. Hard work. I mean, it's hard to fix a scorning fool. But if all else fails, if it gets bad, they'll become the steadfast or the committed fool. This is a man who has a seared conscience. It doesn't bother him anymore when he does wrong. Doesn't even faze him. He has a seared conscience. He believes it's right to do wrong. He is skilled in argumentation. Man, he could argue anything and try to make it look like he's right. He'd kill someone and say he was right in doing it. He seeks followers for self-gain. How do we take care of them? We place them in solitary confinement. We expose them to the laws of God and nature. We refuse to argue, but we expose his folly. You can't argue with him, but what you can do is expose what he did and show they were wrong. And then we warn others of his errors. We use him as an example. Don't do this. This is where it will head you to. Don't do this. And so this is what the Bible said. Now, we're just trying to help you. We're trying to give you some counsel, because every one of us are dealing with someone who is foolish, if not a fool. We understand we may even get flashbacks of our own lives where we made foolish decisions, or perhaps we spent some time as a fool. But we need help in dealing with people. And especially y'all young people, I ask you to sit up front, not be mean, not just so I could spit on you, because I love you guys. Satan wants to do everything he can to twist you guys, to make you guys wrong. And we understand, we're parents, we're older folks. We understand there's times that you guys don't consider consequences for your actions. You just do things and then hope you don't get in trouble later on when you realize you did wrong. There is consequences for actions. And we want the best for you. We honestly do. Everyone in this church loves you. There's not a single one that I know of that wants your life ruined. We want the best for you. And we're trying to give you warning as well as trying to help us as adults to be warned how to take care of these people and how to watch out for these young people as well, because we love them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Lord, I thank you for letting us take time to talk about these things from Proverbs. And I'm asking that it may be a help. It may be a blessing to someone as we try to have discernment about what's going on, about the foolish things that are out. I'm asking that you use this to be a help, an encouragement. Lord, my heart is breaking for a young man who I believe, I know where he is on this list, and I'm heartbroken because I've actually watched this young man progress through some of these levels. And I'm heartbroken because I see where he's headed. And I wish I could do anything I could to make him stop. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us all with those folks that we're dealing with, that we'd love them, but we'd be wise and we'd be biblical, and that we'd pray for these folks as we should, and expect that you are still a God that gives hope. You're a God who's still beyond all of our understanding, and you can still draw all men to you, that you could take the hardest hearts and change them to something beautiful. Lord, help us to rely on you even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.